Okay, good morning to everybody. So we just started to scratch the surface of the next sugya. That is the sugya of a chaticha ruya l'skabed. Now, truth to be told, we have to understand the sugya really, not in a vacuum, but really in a context of a general principle that relates to Hilchos Bittel, something we spoke about time and time again this year. That's the issue of the davar choshev. So the starting point of our sugya is that Bittel really only makes sense when something is negligible, something is insignificant. You can say that it's batel. Now, how do you define whether something's batel? So there are many, many factors that go into that statement. One factor is just in terms of sheer numbers. If the numbers are too high, then it can't be batel. Now, what that means, 1 to 2, 1 to 60, 1 to 100, 1 to 200, a lot of different ways of determining what is considered to be the numbers being too high. Then there's another factor, and that is the significance of something, not just the quantitative chashivas, but the qualitative chashivas. If something is choshev enough that we cannot really say with a straight face, it's batel, it's insignificant, so then bittel is not going to kick in. So that's another halacha, that's halacha of davar choshev. Now, where you draw the line of davar choshev is also subject to much discussion. Everybody, to some degree, buys into the idea of davar choshev. No one accepts the idea that there are certain dvarim chashuvim that are not going to be batel. What they are, what constitutes davar choshev, so that already is a major machlokes. It's many, many, many different scenarios. In the last thing that we spoke about beria. Beria is considered to be a davar choshev, it's not going to be batel. And now the Gemara is beginning to discuss about a chaticha or the scabbard, a piece of meat, that although it's not a beria, it's not a whole animal, it's merely it's a slice, it's a piece of steak, but it's a very nice piece of steak. It's a kind of piece of steak you would invite a guest over for, you would serve as a respectful portion to a guest, that's a chaticha l'skabed, and that in of itself may pose a problem in terms of being a davar choshev. But even within the sugya of chaticha l'skabed, the Gemara relates this to other kinds of dvar choshevim. And let's say for example, the Gemara says that if you have something that's not quite a chaticha l'skabed, but it is something that's a davar shebeminyan. It's something that is counted out. So the Gemara raises that as a possibility. Maybe that's also called a davar choshev. And even within the category of davar shebeminyan, the Gemara has a further question. What do you mean counted out? Does counted out mean that it's always counted out? Does counted out mean that it's most of the time counted out? So you have a lot of gradations, a lot of gray area as to where you draw the line of davar choshev. Again, the theme of the sugya is clear. Davar choshev ain't a batel. Where you draw that line is far from clear. So within, in a certain sense, the ultimate davar choshev, the worst of the worst davar choshev, is the chaticha l'skabed. And that's what the Gemara explained. That's the background of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says explicitly that if you have a piece of meat, a slice of steak, a tray for a piece of meat that gets mixed in with other pieces, and you can't tell which is which, so the Mishnah says, sorry, they're all also. The Gemara says, why are they all also? Let it be bottled berov. Answered the Gemara, finally, the Gemara answered, it's a chaticha l'skabed. So it sounds like at least it's a no-brainer. Even when it qualifies as a chaticha l'skabed, it sounds like it's not going to be bottled. It sounds like that conclusion of the Gemara, that's not negotiable. The question is that really true or not? Is there a reason to believe that even if something is a chaticha l'skabed, even if it's, the, so to speak, the worst of the worst of davar choshev, is there a reason to believe that maybe we don't even follow this idea of chaticha l'skabed? Maybe there's no such thing as chaticha l'skabed. Maybe the sugya is rejected. Rejected? Why should we reject the sugya? Just stop and throw the Gemara out the window. So the answer is, as very often we see the case, there are other sugyas to look at. Shas, the big picture. So just because one line of Maseches Chulin subscribes to chaticha l'skabed, are there any reason to believe that there may be other sugyas lurking out there that may deny chaticha l'skabed? So the sugya that the Rishon begin to focus on is a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It actually starts with the Mishnah and a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Mishnah, the second of the Maramakobos, begins to list off a whole series of different items that are not only Aser, but they're also Bekolshu. Basically, they're not subject to Bittel. So what are these examples? So the Mishnah begins in the second of the Maramakobos of Avodah Zarah and Dalam Ralph, Elu Aser V'Osu Bekolshu. The following items are Aser, and they cause such a problem of a Tarobes that they're also even Bekolshu. Yayin Nesech, you have Avodah Kichavim, either the wine that was used for Avodah Zarah or Avodah Zarah itself, or as the Vuvin was a type of an item that was presented as a gift to the Avodah Zarah, Vishar HaNiskol, V'Egla Arufa, V'Tzipar HaMetzairah, V'Seir HaNozir, U'Pet HaChamor, U'Basel B'Cholov, Usar Mishaleach, Chush Mishbazorah. We spent the whole day going just explaining each one of them. The bottom line is, these are all examples of Dvar Ma'asura Mahanol. You're not allowed to derive benefit from a Shohan Disco, and you're not allowed to derive benefit from a Megla Rufa. You're not allowed to derive benefit from a Petach Hamor. You're not allowed to derive benefit from a piece of Bas B'cholot. So any of these things that were got mixed into a Tarobes, the mission includes a Megla Asura Ba'osu B'cholshu, all of the above Asa B'cholshu. Basically, there's no Bintel, which is very striking because we've been learning Chulin for almost 10 months already. I mean, I've heard of this. Just because it's Asa B'cholshu, why does that change it into a Bintel? So the Gemara is not even so sure why that's true. But again, the simple reading of the Mishnah is all of the above are asav anon, and therefore all of the above asav kosher. So we ask the Gemara, wait a second. What is it about all these items that make them asav kosher? Why is the Egla Rufa asav kosher? Why is the Shohan Niskal asav kosher? Why is the Bas B'chov asav kosher? Tana make a kosher. What criteria is the Tana using to tell us that it's not Bas? If the Mishnah is just giving these things as examples of Dvarim Shebeminyan, it happens to be that all the pieces of Avodah Zarah, let's say the piece of meat that were brought to the Avodah Zarah, so all those pieces happen to be Dvarim Shebeminyan. Those are pieces that are sold by the number. Or all the Egla Rufa meat is all sold by the number. Or all the Basmach, all the cheeseburgers are sold by the number. If that's what the Mishnah means to say, the Mishnah is just simply giving you examples of Dvarim Shebeminyan, listing not Michatifos Nevela. So then why doesn't the Mishnah talk about a piece of Nevela? A piece of Nevela is also Dvarim Shebeminyan. But rather, if the point of the Mishnah is to highlight things that are also Ba'ana'a, listing not Michamat for Pesach, there's something that's missing from the list. Chametz for Pesach would have been a good example. So you have a chametz for cookie, a chametz for piece of cake. So that should also be a davar she'ein lo bittul. So what is the Mishnah highlighting? The Mishnah is clearly mentioning many examples, but deliberately deleting a few. So what is ultimately that matters? What is the rule? Is the rule davar she'beminyan? Doesn't sound that way because chametz should have been on the list. Is the rule is no? Doesn't sound that way. Then chametz should have been on the list. So the Gemara concludes amra b'chibar abba v'tei revitzik nafcha. The Mishnah is insisting on both conditions being met in order to be labeled as Eino Batil. It has to be a Davar Shebeminyan ve'isuri hano'ah. It has to be both Davar Shebeminyan and Asav Hano'ah. If it's over two strikes against it, then and only then will we declare that it in fact is not going to be Batil. So if you go down the list of everything mentioned in the Mishnah, Shohan Diskos, and Arufa, those are all Asabana. Those are all Dvarim Chashuvim. They're all Dvarim Shebeminyan. I wouldn't know how you count out the Egla Rufas as the perfect service, but those Chazal considered those all to be in the category of Dvarim Shebeminyan. So they meet both conditions, and therefore they're also. Now, it is pretty clear from the Gemara at this point that anything that's not going to be met, not going to meet both of those conditions, is not going to be subject to the rule of Ein Lo Bittul. That's exactly what the Gemara says at the end. If you go down to the second to last line in that Mar Makom, Harei Ein Lo Miyutei Ma'ai, when the Mishnah concludes, Harei Ein Lo Asur Miyosu B'Kol Shu, when the Mishnah says that all of the above, Asur B'Kol Shu, what does Harei Ein Lo mean? Harei Ein Lo is a Lashon to exclude something else. What is it coming to exclude? Lo Miyutei Davashim Minyan V'la B'Sur Hano, Ina Lo Miyutei Yisur Hano V'la Davashim Minyan. It's coming to exclude either something that's not Asav Hanah, that's merely a Davar Shebeminyan, or vice versa. It's coming to exclude something that's also that's a Davar Shebeminyan, but not Yisrael. Bottom line is, unless both conditions are met, the Mishnah is not going to apply. So if you walk away from this Gemara of Elazar, Daf Ayin Dalam and Aleph, it seems very, very clear that in order for us to invoke the idea of Davar Choshev, it's not so simple to say it's a Davar Choshev. A whole series of conditions have to be met before it can declare something to be a Davar Choshev. One is, it has to be a Davar Shebeminyan. Number two is, it has to be somebody else of Hanah. If both of those conditions are met, then and only then, we're going to label it as Osim Mashiv. Now, one of the items that was excluded explicitly was Chatichas Nevela. That's what the Gemara just said, that Chatichas Nevela was not on the list. And the reason why Chatichas Nevela was not on the list, because it's not both. Maybe it's Davar Shebeminyan, but it's not also Hanah. and therefore it's going to be mutter bebittul. So wait a second, hold the phone. You just got finished telling me in a berizah daf ayin amud aleph that if you have a slice of nevela meat that gets mixed up with 20 other meats, it's fine, it's okay, because it falls short of being ein lo bittul, because it doesn't have both conditions. It's not a davar asur b'hanah. But that is an absolute contradiction to what we just learned in Chulin. The Mishnah Chulin says that a chatichas nevela is something that's a davar chashuv. Why is it davar chashuv? Either because davar shavinu, because chatichu eskabim, whatever the conclusion of the Gemara was. So if you're going to tell me in Chulin Daf Kuf that nevela pieces are not bottle, how does that fly with the Gemara of Arizona that says nevela pieces are bottle? So it sounds like we have machlekes asugyas. It sounds like our Gemara Chulin that says, yeah, chatichas nevela is not bottle, yeah, davar shavinyan, yeah, chatichu eskabim, all those reasons that the Gemara suggested are not agreed upon by everybody. They may be actually debated by the very sugya in Masechta Avodah Zarah. So this problem, all the Rishonim had to deal with, and tells them the third of the Maamar Kamos attempts to solve this problem. Kamos tells and says, "V'im timer, d'mash b'hocha d'chatichas de ben l'bokla." But the simple reading of the Gemara in Chulin, it sounds it's more than mashba. It says it very much practically that a slice of the veil is not bottle. We break basa to besechas of erizor mashba the betela. Whereas the Gemara in the end of erizor sounds it is bottle. The parah chaitana make chashiv idav shemini chashiv etc. And finally, the Gemara concludes that you need both. So we let's skip down to the fourth line in the Tosfos. V'yeshlam in the middle of the line. The hasam lo ka'amar ella delo ayibu tana de mastis in the hasam. The lam nishum disover the batle. Says Tosfos when the Gemara says that chatichas de bela wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara didn't mean to say that it wasn't mentioned because it wasn't true. What the Gemara meant to say was that it wasn't mentioned because textually, stylistically, it didn't belong. And the Mishnah gives a list of different things that are not batel, and the Gemara commits us to the double, to the dual condition of davar shavinyan as well as asur b'hanah, and all else is excluded. What does that mean? Everything else is excluded. Does it mean everything else is excluded halachically? And it's not true, but does the Gemara mean everything else is excluded in the sense of that we're not talking about it? The Mishnah didn't want to. Why not? I don't know. Rabbi Nasi wrote the Mishnah. He wanted to keep a certain pattern, a certain style of the Mishnah. So he wanted to mention only those things that are also about law. Does that mean to say that the non-Dvarim are not true? Not necessarily. Rabbi Nasi didn't give an absolute exhaustive list of everything under the sun. It's not both though. He was learning the Sugi, the Surya Na. So he mentioned all the Surya Na. Other Surya Chila, they're also Surya Chila. So when all the dust settles, Tosfos says the Gemara of Erezor is not absolutely against that Gemara. Our Gemara is the halachic statement. Chatichim with his kabin is taka, not bato. That's all that matters in the world of Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara of Erezor that highlights the fact that it wasn't mentioned, chatichim with kabin is ignored in the Mishnah. Not everything that is ignored is wrong. It can be ignored for textual, for technical reasons, for gesture reasons. But in terms of pure halacha, the only sugya that really matters is that sugya. So we can breathe a sigh of relief. Our sugya chatichas kabbah is still back on the table. I mean, it's still an acceptable rule. And yes, the rule is that chatichas kabbah is not bought up. But unlike Tosfos, who brought Agamar back to life, the Ran, it's a long one, I'm not going to read the Ran inside, but the Ran, the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, so the Ran makes the following observation. That the Rif, in fact, does not quote Agamar. The Rif doesn't even mention our Mishnah. The Rif just mentions the Sugya of Avodah Zarah and calls it a day. So wait a second now. The Rif is writing a Sefer Halacha. If Halacha is true, then it's supposed to be quoted by the Rif. Says the Ran, but that's the Rif. Most probably, the Rif's understanding was that unlike Tosfos, it actually was a Machlekes HaSugyos. It's actually two different opinions. And we Paskin Halacha, like the Sugya of Avodah Zarah that rejects Chatichu Liskabin. There is no such thing called Chatichu Liskabin. It doesn't exist. We made it up in Maseches Chulin. The Tanoim and the Gemaraim discussed it in Maseches Chulin, but the Sugyas in Maseches Avodah Zarah rejected it, and therefore the Rif understood how we understood the Pasuk of one Sugya or the other, I'm not sure, but the Rif understood that the Sugya of Avodah Zarah was the more accurate Sugya L'Allah. So now we have a Machloikis HaRishonim that's emanating from a Machloikis as to how to read the two sugyas. So there's no question Agamar is accepting Chatichus Gabin. The Gemara of Erezor seems to be denying it. So the Rif says, not just seems, but yes, is denying it. And therefore, la halacha, the Rif says, that the riff in the Ran claims that that's a riff, that we ultimately reject our sugya. And Taisa says, no, we don't. Our sugya still stands, our sugya is still around. And the Gemara ben Ezra just meant to say that Rabbi Nasi wasn't bothering to talk about it, but not because it wasn't true. So when all the dust settles, we step up from Machlekes and we show him, is there even a din of Chetichlus Kabbah or not? But forget about Chetichlus Kabbah for a second. When we started off the sugya, we said that we have to learn this sugya in a context of other Dvarim HaChashuvim. Now it's true that Chetichlus Kabbah was the ultimate potential Dvarim HaChashuv, but there were others also. It was the Dvarim HaShuvimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimim egg. An egg is not such a really scabbed. A person walks into my house, and that's not the number one dish that I give him is an egg. So an egg may not be a chenichu iskabed, but it may very well be a davar shebeminyan. Eggs, these pesmanazeh, are very much sold according to numbers. You can't go to the store and buy 20 and say, I want a bag of eggs. How many eggs in there? I have no idea. You got to buy it. A dozen and a half, 2 dozen. You have to buy by a certain number of eggs. So what would the din be? Do we accept that principle of davar shebeminyan or not? So an agamar was a little bit iffy. It was a little bit shaky. Because the Gemara quoted it at the beginning, but then quickly fell back on the chutuk l'skapit. So we are left with a question mark. What is the din? Is there such a chumra called davar shebeminyan? Does that also qualify as something that's not batel? And then we have a further question to ask. If you accept the idea of the davar shebeminyan not being batel, which version of davar shebeminyan do we subscribe to? Because remember, the Gemara had two different versions. One, the version of something that's always counted. And then the Gemara had something that's most of the time counted. So we have two questions here. Sveik, we're not sure whether we even accept the principle of davar shebeminyan altogether. And imtum tzalama that we do we accept the chumadik version or the kuladik version? So in order to get a little bit of a background to that, we have to learn a sugya in Maseches Beitza. It's a sugya that we've spoken about. We spoke about it a lot of different times, different times this year, different times in the past. It's a Gemara in Maseches Beitza that Gilma Beis, which sets the stage for this entire discussion about what our take is on davar shebeminyan. So let's pick it up in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos. The Gemara is discussing the first Mishnah of Maseches Beitza, Beitza Shenol to be Yontif. So we all know that a Beitza that was laid on Yontif is off limits. It's you're not allowed to eat it, and then you're not even allowed to move it, because whatever you can't eat and you can't use, you can't even move, it's Muktzah. So everybody knows that Beitza Shenol, everybody knows, Mishami didn't know, but everyone knows that a Beitza Shenol to be Yontif is Lesech, you're not allowed to eat it. Why are you not allowed to eat it? What in the world is wrong with a Beitza Shenol to be Yontif? So there are actually four different interpretations in the Gemara what the problem is. One of the problems is a D'oraisa Dika problem, and according to three other versions, the worst it is a Din D'Rabbanan, a sordid Gezeiros, and Muktzah, and Meila, and Maisa, every reason under the sun, why the Beitza is awesome. But basically, the breakdown the Gemara is that there's one opinion that says that's awesome in HaTorah, because the Torah says, Ve'chinu es asher yaviyu, that in order to use items on Shabbos and Yontif, they require Hachana, and this could, again, we're leaving out all the details of that sugya, this could sometimes fall short in terms of the proper Hachana that was necessary. So the bottom line is that the Beitza Shenol is asur, whether it's asur deraisa or derabanan, is subject to a debate in the Gemara. So it's with that back what the Gemara quotes it right in the fifth of the Ramah comes Beitza of Gilma Beitza Meisvei. Echad Beitza Shenol de B'Shabbos, Echad Beitza Shenol de B'Yontif. An egg that was laid either on Shabbos or on Yontif. Eimet Ta'alklan Osa. You cannot carry it. The Lechas is basically, if you're thinking about not eating it, you can't even use it, you can't even move it to cover up something. So this will carry it. I mean, you can't use it like the, I guess it's got to be a pretty big egg, to use it to help you support like the edges of the legs of the bed or something. I imagine our eggs would probably crack when that happened. But I guess you got a big egg that's going to be able to use a little bit of support. So you're not allowed to move it. It's moved. About kaifa lesa kli b'shul shol tishav, what you are allowed to do is, you're allowed to cover it with something. Let's say the egg is laying there, and the chicken just laid the head, just laid the egg, and you're afraid someone's going to walk into the chicken coop and step on it. So you're allowed to throw a pot on top of it, throw a kli on top of it, that it shouldn't get smashed. But to move the egg, it's off limits. Then the Braisa continues, Usveika Asura. What if you have a suffix? I'm not even sure this egg was laid. I forgot to check Erev Shabbos to see whether the egg was laid from before. Now I walk into the coop on Shabbos morning and I'm scratching my head. Oh my goodness, I forgot to check yesterday. Maybe this was yesterday's egg. So I don't know. The Braisa says, sorry, the egg is off limits also. Suffix Beitza is also. And then the Braisa goes even further. this arva the elef, if that one egg gets mixed up into 1,000 eggs, kulunasurus. There's no bittul. All the eggs are usur, nothing is bittul. You have a disaster on your hands. So not only do I have to asa this poor egg itself, but the egg, even with suffer, creates isurim, and the egg even creates problems in terms of uchos tarot. So that's the end of the raisa. So now the Gemara tries to show, how do we understand this raisa in light of the two different paths of Amoraim, whether we're dealing with a deraisa dikah problem or we're dealing with a derabanan dikah problem. So the Gemara attempts, Bishlam al-Rab adem shumachona. Rabba was the Amor who said that the issue of a beta shenolta be yontif or Shabbos is a potential deraisa problem. That's what's called a chana derab. Again, I'll leave it out in detail in terms of what the psukim exactly mean. But the bottom line is we're dealing with a potential deraisa called a chisorn of hachana. So I understand, according to Rabba, why the suffix egg is also habi sfeik deraisa. It's a suffix, but it's called sfeik deraisa. Everybody knows sfeik deraisa is the chumra. El Rabbi Yosef, El Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amim Mishum Gezeira, sfeik derabbanan yichol, sfeik derabbanan kula. According to the other Amorim, I left that one in the four for another reason, but out of the other group of Amorim who say that we're dealing with simple gezeiras, it's a clear derabbanan. So then why don't we just say, well, suffix beita should be mutter? Why isn't it sfeik derabbanan kula? Some of you may be wondering, hey, wait a second, is this a double sheish to matirin? Hang in there. It took the Gemara 30 lines to get to that point. But at this point, the Gemara is trying to analyze this price. The price that says that a suffix beitza is also. Why? If you hold that beitza should only be other, it's also in a Torah, got it. If you hold that it's only also in the Rabbanan, why should that be so? The Gemara makes it a turnaround and says, Seifa son the suffix trefa. When the Brisa concludes and says, Usveka Asura, that word Sveka Asura, that phrase is not even talking about a Beit HaShel to be Yomtiv. It's like there are two different statements in the Brisa. First, the Brisa is talking about the Beit HaShel to be Yomtiv, and then it tells you what you can and cannot do with it. Period, end of sentence, end of essay. New page. Now that we're talking about eggs, by the way, let's talk about some other possible problems that could occur in an egg. What could be another potential kashrus issue in an egg? If it's a beitza strefa, I have a hen that I know has got a hole in its stomach. So not only am I not allowed to eat the hen, I'm not allowed to eat the beitza that comes out of the hen also. So comes the Brice and says that that's what it's a sfeik asura. If you have a suffix, whether an egg came from a trefa hen, so that would be a problem. So again, stylistically, textually, we're kind of hard to read the Brice. But the Gemara is willing to commit itself to this very, very, apparently difficult reading of the Brice, in order to protect the other Amoraim, because the Brice says suffix is also. There's no question the Brice says those two words, suffix also. But if only if there are modern on the table, why is suffix also? So the answer is, it must be that the phrase suffix also is not talking about what we're talking about. It must be there are two topics in the Brice. First day for the Brice is Beit HaShel B'Yavdu, which is Taka Dirabon, Taka suffix Mutar. The second day for the Brice is a suffix trade. So the Gemara says, even if you're going to be able to, you're going to push, and you're going to stick that into the raisa, it still have a problem. Why? Because then the very end of the raisa doesn't read smoothly. Yehochi, ema seifa, nisarva be'elof kluna suras. The end of the raisa says that if that egg that we're talking about, which you just changed topics on me, so you just told me we're talking about a beitzis trefa, if that's what we're talking about, so then the raisa concludes with nisarva be'elof kluna suras, that egg asses up all the other eggs. Really? Why is that? Why is that egg not bottom? So Iyamras Bishlama Safiyat Savichol. If you tell me that the egg is a Beit HaShel to be other, if you read the Brisa like we thought the Brisa read, that we were convinced the Brisa meant that the Brisa is talking about one case, it's talking about a Beit HaShel to be Yomtiv. So then I understand. I've been matir, so then I understand why the Brisa says it's not going to be bottom. There's a Beit HaShel to be on them, is a classic Dovashesh material. It's going to become Mutter tomorrow. So wait till after the Yom is over. Aliyah was Suffolk Trefa. But if you hold that the Rice is talking about a Suffolk Trefa, Dovashesh lo matirini, Vitibat the Baruba. So then the end of the Rice, it makes no sense. How can it not be Mutter? So the bottom line is we are really, really in a pickle. We're in a corner with this egg. Because there are two statements that appear in this Rice about this egg, and we're not sure how to make sense of those two statements. One of them is Suffolk Asur, and the other is never Mutter. So if you hold that we're dealing with a deraisa here, so I understand why suffix also is making the rest of the chumra. And if you say we're dealing with the deraisa beit HaShel B'Yavdu, I understand why never bottle, because never sheish to material, so I got it. But if you hold that the price is talking about, I'm sorry, if you hold that beit HaShel B'Yavdu is only derabanan, So then when the Braisa says something also, it can't be talking about the Beit Hashlal Yachid. You have to, by default, learn that there's a second half of the Braisa. And the second half of the Braisa is talking about Beit Hashreifa. But if it's talking about Beit Hashreifa, so then the very end of the Braisa doesn't read smoothly. So why is it never bottle? So we are mamish mamish in the corner. Why is a Beit Hashreifa not bottle? What could be wrong with the Beit Hashreifa that would prevent it from being bottle? The Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. Says the Gemara, the Chitema, where we left off, Beitza Chashuv Labotla. Maybe a Beitza is Choshev and it's not going to be Botel. Ha Nicha Lamandiyam a Kosher Darka Limon Hashaninu. A Lamandiyam a Esher Darka Limon Hashaninu Michael Ameymar. That would make sense if you hold the Beitza as a Dav Shiva Minyan. But wait a second, depending on how you define Dav Shiva Minyan. If you think Dav Shiva Minyan requires that it's always counted out, I'll tell you a secret. Maybe in our world, you don't sell Beitzim by a bagful, but in the days of Chazal, it wasn't so impossible. It wasn't so uncommon for that to happen. Most of the time, eggs were sold by the number, but not always. So the Ifla Gemara says that if you want to tell me that the Pshandish price is that a Beitzah is not Botel because it's Dav Shiva Minyan, then you have to subscribe to the very, very Chumra version of Dav Shiva Minyan. You have to buy into the version of Dav Shiva Minyan that even though it's not always counted, even that is called a Dav Shiva Minyan. Because if you take the more lenient version of Dav Shiva Minyan, a Beit is just not going to reach that standard. The Gemara says, Yitaka right, Lazer, what are we going to do? The Gemara says, the only way to limp shot in the Braisa, at least at this point, is to say, yep, a Beit is a Dav Shiva Minyan. Yeah, Dav Shiva Minyan means even most of the time Dav Shiva Minyan. Yeah, that's the MS. That's what the Gemara says. Wait a second. This Gemara, this whole Shachmata in the Gemara, is now going to impact us. Lahalacha. Why? We raised the question and asked, we know that a Chetichu Iskabit is not bottle. Not everybody except for the Rif knew. That's the Maskanat of Gemara Chulin. Chetichu Iskabit is ain't a bottle. We're not quite sure whether Dav Shiva Minyan is not bottle also. That's a little bit shaky. So we're not sure. It's Maskanat of Tanoim. We're not sure. So come group of Rishon and say, what do you mean you're not sure? But the Gemara Beitza was sure. The Gemara Beitza was willing to accept that idea of Dav Shiva Minyan as a valid interpretation of the Braisa. And not only was the Gemara Beitza willing to accept that as a valid interpretation, it was willing to take the Chumradika version of that opinion, that it need not be always counted. Even if it's most of the time counted out, that's also called a Dav Shiva Minyan. Now, truth to be told, it's a long, long, long sugya in Beitza. And when all the dust settles, the Gemara rejects the entire story and falls back on the Bishesh material and gives you a brand new, whole new revamping of the entire Braisa. So the whole 20 lines went up in smoke. But some Rishonim say, okay, the Maskana, that wasn't the exact shot in the Braisa. But you see that the Amoraim took the Bishesh Abidyan very, very seriously. That the whole Shakata, the whole later Amoraim, the days of Rin Ravashi, the Amoraim were coupling with the Braisa, and willing to give very significant credibility to the view that Dav Shiva Minyan is not Bata. And not only Dav Shiva Minyan is Bata, but the Chumadika version of Dav Shiva Minyan is Bata. You see that the Amoraim took that position with the utmost seriousness. You see from here, that's probably how we paskin. The Dav Shiva Minyan is in fact not going to be Bata. Now, that's a big, big jump, but there are some Rishonim who say it. There are other Rishonim who say, you know, Dav Shiva Minyan, you're right, it's not going to be Batal. We're willing to accept that view that Dav Shiva Minyan is not Batal, but to take the Chumrishab, version of Dav Shiva Minyan, that's already a little bit too much. And the other Rishon will say, we don't accept Dav Shiva Minyan, finished, end of discussion, we don't accept it. We follow our Gemara, Chadich Shiva, this Kabbat is not Batal, but Dav Shiva Minyan is in fact Batal. So we have an array of opinions in Rishonim, what the Maskara Set Varm is. You have from one extreme, you name your extreme view, you name your shita, I'll find you a Rishon to line up with it. You have the most extreme of extreme of extreme views, l'chumra, that Chetichu Iskabit is not batel, Dav Shiva Minyan is not batel, even a quasi Dav Shiva Minyan is not batel. The Rishon will buy into that extreme, extreme, extreme view. Then you have on the other extreme, the sheet of the Rif that says, guess what? Everything's batel. Dav Shiva Minyan, it's a joke, of course it's bottle. Even Chetichu Iskabit is bottle. None of the whole Gemara Chulin is rejected. The only Gemara that matters is the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah that says that if it's a Dabar HaAsav HaNo and it's a Dav Shiva Minyan, then we have to be concerned. But short of that, everything is good. So you have two extreme views. Some Rishonim will say that all Dvarim should be minyan, even the most chumritic ones, are never batel. You have other Rishonim will say that everything is batel. Then you have different nuances in the middle. Some say Chetichus Kavod is not batel. Some say even Quasi Darshan Minyan is not batel. You have different nuances all along the way. So if you take a look at the tour, the sixth of the Marmakomos, the tour pretty much sizes up for you, sums up for you all the different possibilities. Chaticha real is kabed. So first of all, chaticha is kabed. That's a no-no. That's for sure. That's for sure in a bottle. Ushad dvar machashuvim. Kugon balechayim. Udvarm shadarkan limonos. Things that are counted out. Shenis arvo beheter. Einan betelem li'oil mafilu bi'elef. So the Torah quotes the first opinion that says that yes, we accept the view of Dav Shulmin in a bottle. Yes, we accept the machmirim. But the only time that we accept davar shel minyan is it has to be a real super duper duper non-negotiable davar shel minyan, something that is always sold by the number. Things that are sometimes sold by just approximate, I give you a bag full of something, you count it out when you get home. But the right, so the Rish says, that version, that far of Dav Shel Minyan, we're not going to go. Lekach Kosov, therefore the Rish wrote, Shebeitze B'Teila, a tray for air can be bought, though. Shepavim Machim Samali Beitze B'Yachan, every once in a while, you would sell a basket full of eggs. How many are in there? I have no idea. A basket full. So since once in a while that was normal, I'm not saying it's normal in today's world. The days of the Rishon, the days of the Re, that was an acceptable business practice to sell you a bag of eggs and love to get to count it out. That's good for us as a Re. Because that means that eggs are not a real bona fide davar shel minyan. But Bala Itta Kosov, Shebeitze de Betela. Bala Itta says, no, eggs are not batel because eggs are davar shel minyan. Either sometimes sold lav dafka by the number, it doesn't matter, says Balat. Since most of the time it's sold by the number, let's also go to Davar Shel Minyan. So both the Re and the Balat both accept the principle of Davar Shel Minyan, but they're finding out as to where do you draw the line. Does it have to be something always counted or sometimes counted? And the Rambam says, nah, that all these things are batel. Says the Rambam, we pass like the other Tanoim, the Dav Shel Minyan doesn't exist. So you name your Shita. You have the biggest Machmirim, namely the Bala Itter, that anytime something is sometimes counted, it's done. It's history in a bottle. That's the biggest extreme. Then you have on the other end of the spectrum of the Rif, who says that even the Chadikul is Kabir is bottle, we reject our entire Sugya. Then you have Shitas in the middle, the Re and the Rambam, that we accept to some degree, we don't accept to a full degree, the Re accept Dav Shel Minyan a little bit, the Rambam rejects it, but still subscribes to the Chadikul is Kabir. So different nuances in Rishon. The bottom line is, this whole Sugya is only a Din Midrabban, Minat Torah, all these things are bottle. Minat Torah, it's bottle world, Ramahat is finished. But Midrabban and Chazal instituted that things that are choshev don't lend themselves to bittul. Now the question becomes, how do you define what's called choshev? So we saw a few different criteria thrown around, what's called choshev. Last thing we spoke about Beria being choshev. Now we're speaking about Chetikulis Kabed, Dav Shel Minyan being choshev. And within the shita, within these sugyas, there are different shitas, in Rishon, different shitas, lahavach. But putting aside the riff for a moment, just that everybody else buys into the principle of Chetikulis Kabed. And in Shulchan Aruch, we accept that. What we think about Dav Shel Minyan is questionable, but La Halacha, nobody really follows the Rif. So La Halacha L'maisa, we do accept this Chumra Midrabban Chetichlis Kabed, but now it really requires of us, in a sense, to define a little bit better. What does that mean, Chetichlis Kabed? Something I invite a guest for? It's very, very, you know, very vague kind of a definition. So we have a little bit more work to do. The Rishonim had a lot more work to do. I'll bet you we'll pick up tomorrow in terms of just fine-tuning a little bit. What does qualify as quote-unquote being served to a guest and what not? The purpose of the Chetichlis Kabed. So there's a sugya that actually starts as a kachavdik sugya. It's going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole sugya of Chetichlis Kabed. It's going to force the Rishon to try to fine tune a little bit what the details are. So up until now, we've decided that whether or not we accept other dvarim chashuvim is highly questionable. Chetichlis Kabed, we're going to go the riff for now. We're going to assume is a problem. What exactly the parameters of that problem are? That's going to be the next one. Okay, let's stop here.
Rebbe, a question for you. Why can't Davash B'Minyan be a unit that's not the item, but the weight of the item? An ounce of gold might be Davash B'Minyan, 1 ounce, as opposed to a piece of gold.
Right. So apparently Chazal understood that somehow numbers are more of a stira to Bittel. That somehow that the fact that something is counting on everyone almost has like its own importance. So it's almost like a barrier kind of a thing, that everyone is counted. This one is number 3, and this one's number 4, this is number 6. So that gives a certain degree of chashivas to it. Whereas when you're dealing not with the individual unit, you're dealing more with a weight kind of a thing, that's considered, again, it's only the rabbanon. None of these kalma deraisa. Someone that doesn't detract so much from the bittul. But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're asking. I think that's what Chazal apparently sizing up.
Rebbe, do you have mamakomos for tonight?
No, for the Iyun Shir?
Yeah.
It's the same as last week. Yeah, it's the same as last week. I sent just to bring those gemaras again.
Okay.
Okay.
Shkach.
Okay.